that way when we got all done. And including that in the EFU zone, I think we're allowing the counties to make some decisions that properly should be made locally.
Okay, we will first vote, if there's not any more discussion, we will vote on the motion to substitute. So all the original language would be restored with any additions we have in here for marginal lands, and keep the deletion portion for EFU.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bradbury.
Following up on what Representative Trahan just said, what then is the main motion underneath the substitute motion? Is it to apply the restore the existing language in EFU, and then the effect of that would also be to restore it in marginal?
Yes.
Which is, that's a little different than what your original motion was. I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
No, because they, right now they're connected, and by him asking to have it restored would apply to both.
No, I understand, but originally we talked about community centers, and the original language does not speak to community centers, so I'm trying to just get an understanding.
Madam Chair, to explain if I could to Representative Bradbury, I got a little confused in the original motion. My intent of the original motion was to go back to the original language. I would like to have community centers included. They are in fact included in the old sub D, new E, so I guess we don't have to add them back in again, and I don't really know of any private ones anyway. I wasn't trying to get to that as much as being sure that they were included.
Well, if you include the original language, under private they're not included, but under public they are, and that's what you want to get.
Yes, that's the point.
Representative Hill.
Yeah, I made the suggestion that community centers be included in marginal here, but I'm trying to figure out exactly what a private community center would be.
Well, I think in my area we have quite a few Chicano centers, and I think they'd be private, wouldn't they?
They'd be nonprofit community organization.
Probably.
Could a roller skating ring be defined as a private community center?
Yeah.
Could we run into that sort of thing?
Well, I guess we might ask anybody in the audience or anybody on the committee if they know of any private community centers. Everyone I am aware of is either
public or nonprofit.
A community is a community center, or it's nonprofit.
Madam Chair.
Representative Drew.
That would be a conditional use if I read it properly, and I think it is appropriate to give the counties the authority to make the determinations on those kinds of facilities and marginal lands. I think that would work just fine.
Well, and I have will disagree with some other members. If they have to have reasonable standards adopted by the counties, I have a lot less problem of restoring the original language for both. And I think that's what makes a difference in this bill.
Madam Chair.
Representative Drew.
Call for the question.
Clerk, would you call the roll? This is on to substitute. Representative Troop's motion for the main motion.
And let's, would you?
Yeah, please.
The motion would be that you would separate what's allowed under conditional use. You would have one list for marginal lands, and you'd have another list for EFU. And on the list for marginal lands would be private parks, playgrounds, hunting and fishing preserves, and campgrounds, as well as parks, playgrounds, campgrounds, community centers owned and operated by government agency or a nonprofit community organization, and hunting and fishing preserves.
Madam Chair, how does that work? If we give the counties a choice of either or, going with the marginal land or the other, as we agreed, I think we agreed to yesterday in committee.
No problem.
We didn't agree on that.
The golf course is located on 3-8.
That's just me.
Well, just EFU.
If the land was designated as marginal, you'd have one list. If it's EFU, you have another list. What it amounts to.
If it's not, if it's not both, let's make sure it's taken care of.
Representative Parkinson.
Question.
Certainly.
I'm having trouble understanding why anything that's permitted in EFU shouldn't be permitted in marginal, but I didn't get in on all the conversations. The question...
It is under both margins.
The question is, then, would a golf course be allowed in marginal land?
We haven't got that point.
We haven't got to that.
I know, but this golf course talks about EFU.
We haven't got to that point.
Oh, under the way the bill's drafted right now, you have golf course, certain golf courses allowed in EFU, those would also be allowed in marginal.
Yes. I'm sorry.
We can always fix the Senate.
This is the Senate bill. No, Representative Robinson, no, I think your question was right, because I said you'd have a one list for this and one list for another, and actually, we're just, you would have two lists, but the only portion of the list we're voting on right now are lines 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Everybody understand the motion?
No.
This is to substitute...
Is it going to, can tell me here on the brackets, or anything that I can bracket out or in there?
Sure.
Representative Troop, would you like to explain the motion?
Line 11 and 12. 13, 14, and 15 would be conditional uses on marginal lands. Mm-hmm. Lines 13, 14, and 15 would be conditional uses on EFU.
And?
No.
Well, I said 11 through 15, marginal, 13 through 15 EFU.
Now, Madam Chair, maybe this will just take a second. I would assume EFU is a little more restrictive than marginal, right?
Right.
What is in marginal that isn't in EFU?
11 and 12.
Private parks.
Private parks, playgrounds, hunting, fishing, preserves, and camps. All the privates.
Public and private and marginal is public.
Could a private, could a private campground be allowed as a conditional use in an EFU?
No, not under this motion.
Well, then my question is, it would appear to me that there would be definitely at times an indication for a KOA campground next to a freeway, because there is another campground within 40 miles. It looks like that's needed in the bill.
Madam Chair.
Representative Bamowitz.
What if I need to augment my operation and make my farm pay, since you won't let me do anything else with it, by turning my fish pond into a fishing preserve that I make money off of? So you've eliminated me from doing that.
No, no, that's
where
they're private. In line 15, that hunting and fishing preserves is operated by both
private or public.
Okay.
So you can do that, Representative Bamowitz.
But I can't have a private campground and teach. Well, maybe I could come under that other exception if I wanted to have people come and be related to the farm.
Rotary non-profit? Establish a campground.
Non-profit community.
Is
that
what I
call
it?
Call for the question, Madam Chair.
Clerk, would you call the roll? I just wanted everyone to be clear.
I know.
Representative Hill.
Aye.
Representative Parkinson.
No.
Representative Friesen.
Aye.
Representative Trainer.
No.
Representative Troop.
Aye.
Representative Van Loon.
We're on the whole thing.
We're on the substitute motion.
No.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bradbury?
No.
No. Motion fails. The main motion.
Which is?
That you restore the language on line 11 and 12.
Do we add community centers?
No. Because you would.
Because they're in 13.
They're in 13.
Madam Chair, would it be correct to state that what Representative Trahern is proposing is to return to existing law on EFU related to these two
Not exactly. Not exactly.
Not exactly, no.
Because you have in line 13, 14, and 15, you have added public campgrounds and community centers.
Community centers are already.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I sort of underlined that and I didn't mean to. So you would be adding private, public campgrounds.
And.
And public hunting and fishing preserves.
What's underlined? Campgrounds and hunting and fishing preserves.
Madam Chair, does this amendment just, we would be approving what's in this LC on 13, 14, 15?
Yes, you would be approving what's in, you would be approving lines 13, 14, 15, and restoring the language on lines 11 and 12.
Okay, got you.
Everybody clear? Restoring language on lines 11 and 12, and approving what's in lines 13, 14, and 15 according to this LC draft. Any discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll?
Aye.
It's not exactly where it's listed.
Aye.
Representative Trahan?
Aye.
Representative Truitt?
No.
Representative Ben Lyon?
Aye.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Bradbury?
Aye.
Representative Hill?
No.
Chair Hill?
Aye. Motion passes. Any other problems with this page?
Yes. Madam Chair, I would move to strike everything in line 16, 17, 18, 19, except the word golf course.
Representative Anderson moves to strike everything in line 16, 17, 18, and 19, except for the first two words on line 16, which is, are the words golf courses. Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Trahan.
Question, Representative Anderson, is that the current language?
Yes.
This is also cross-referenced to marginal land, isn't it?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Representative Truitt.
So that would allow golf courses to be constructed as a conditional use on soils 1 and 2?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Representative Hill.
I'd like to amend it.
What is your amendment?
I'd like to include racetracks.
Racetracks?
Golf courses and racetracks.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's not
What kind of racetracks, Representative?
Well, if you want to do that, I'll vote for it. That'll kill the bill. You know, whatever.
I'm just trying to make a point.
Racetracks.
Motorcycle racetrack. Representative Priestley.
I don't know. I always puzzle whether I should try and build a bill that I like or who somebody else likes. I don't think the bill I like anybody else would like, but.
Except people in Northport.
I would move a substitute motion that would strike the Roman numeral 3 in line 16 and substitute Roman numeral 4.
Madam Chair.
I'm not big on golf.
That's rocking short.
Representative Priestley moves to.
Not friendly.
No, I understand that it would not be friendly. He would substitute the motion to not allow golf courses in capability classes instead of 3. It would be. They would be allowed in capability classes 4 through 8 under conditional use instead of 3 through 8 under conditional use. Any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Truitt.
I should probably, declare a conflict of interest. In my not so distant past, I was a golf professional.
Oh, okay.
But it's not occurring.
Any discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll?
This is on a substitute motion?
Yes.
Representative Hill?
Repeat the motion, please.
Roman numeral 4 from Roman numeral 3.
Is this the amended motion?
Substitute motion.
Substitute motion.
This would only allow golf courses on class 4 through 8 soils, right?
Under
class 3 through 8 soils.
Under a
Representative Parkinson?
No, I vote next. No.
Aye.
Representative Trahan?
No.
Representative Truitt?
Aye.
Representative Van Lines?
No.
Representative Anderson?
Do I want to kill the bill or not? No.
Representative Bradbury?
No.
Chair Hilly?
No. All fails to the main motion.
Madam Chair, may I speak to the situation that's here?
Yes, Representative.
I think we're looking at another instance where a situation has not been able to be resolved locally, and they've turned to us statewide to get it in state law to try and solve it. I may be wrong, but I think that that's it here.
Madam Chair?
What problem?
Representative Truitt, it happens frequently, Representative Van Leeuwen.
I'd like to take another point of view. I think that soil classes 1 and 2 should be for agriculture purposes, not for recreational golf courses. And I would oppose the motion so we could retain classes 1 and 2 for agricultural purposes and not for that type of recreation on our prime agricultural lands in the state.
Representative
Parkinson. I kind of look on golf courses as being a land bank. You don't have to pay a government subsidy to keep land out of protection and production. I think it's good to allow them, as long as you don't buy all the land around it to be developed.
I have to carry a bill, or just a concurrence motion. But if we're ready to vote, I'm ready to vote.
Okay, question.
Okay, question is, after golf courses, delete all the rest.
All the rest of the bill, Madam Chair?
For line 19.
Well, that's a great idea.
This still leaves it a conditional use, so
yes.
It has to be solved locally,
yes.
Right?
And I guess the one advantage is what Representative Perkins says, you don't have cement or building
yes.
on it.
Yes.
Representative,
well, my concern is that this idea, first of all, that you'd be allowed this use, and then it seems to me, oh, this idea of more intensive use, you seldom go back, and then I thought someone would give a very telling argument that this is a very much of an attractive to desirable building sites, which is just absolutely contrary to what apparently is wanted, is to have a residential development in this agricultural area.
Not allowed.
Question.
Clerk, would you call the roll?
Representative
Parkinson? Aye.
Representative Priestley?
No.
Representative
Craven? Aye.
Representative Truitt?
No, thank you.
Representative Van Leeuwen?
Aye.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Bradford?
No.
Representative Hill?
Not unless I get racetracks.
Chair Hill?
Aye. Motion passes. On to the rest of the bill.
My higher universities.
Is there any problems with a problem? Anything anyone wants to bring up on page 8?
I just asked
anything on page 9.
I'd like to ask why on line 24, page 8, the word dwellings, plural, is that substituted with
what line?
Line 24, page 8.
Elizabeth?
It's simply a form and style. We have a policy to try and write the statutes in the singular, and that includes the plural.
Page 9.
Page 9.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
In line 12 and several other locations, and I can see line 27. We have two tests. The dwelling activity associated with dwelling will not force a major change. And the other test, or measurably increase the prospect of filing. I just wonder why we have both tests in there. Why isn't a major change in itself, doesn't that measurably increase the cost? It would have to, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily.
No. Let's hear the why.
Anyone want to come up? Or I'll go through it. Scott? Good,
you
get a new voice in here.
Scott Ashcombe, Farm Bureau. Our original proposal was that we delete
Scott, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Good job. We are in a recess.
It's always happens to me.
We do want to hear.
Who said you could break it up?
Okay. Scott, where you left off? Repeat the question we asked.
Madam Chair, I want to know the difference between major change and majorly increased the cost of the farm.
Scott?
For the record, I'm Scott Ashkin with the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. I'll try to explain the way that I would describe the change, the difference between the two, and I'd like to say that I do see that there is a difference. Of course, I want to remind you, our original proposal before the committee was to delete the word major in line 12 and just have it read a change in or measurably increase the cost of accepted farming practices on nearby lands devoted to farm use. How I would describe a dwelling or activity forcing a change in the accepted farming practice would be such as follows. Where I come from, we have somewhat larger farms and ranches than we do on the west side. Say you have a section of land and say you have an access, basically have access roads on all four sides, just running down the four corners of the access. If a subdevelopment or non-farm dwellings were to be clustered on one of those sides and not on the other, when you were customarily in the habit of working your field in such a way that you took your farm implements up the road on the side that they were clustered, but because of their being located adjacent to your section of land, now you had to, in order to say avoid children or avoid their domestic animals, you had to maybe change your route and maybe go up the other access road. That would be a change in your operation. Now, it wouldn't necessarily increase the cost of your farming, because if the distance was equal, the cost would be equal in terms of fuel and time. It wouldn't. Lawyers might argue whether or not it was a major change, but from my experience in working as a farm laborer for a number of years, if you're in the habit of locating your implements at a certain...
Excuse me, we want you to come back. We have a call at the house. I knew we were going to. This room is going to be used at 6. You can leave your stuff here. It's going to be used at 6 for about 10 minutes, and we will probably be back in this room by about...
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Scott Ashkin with the Oregon Farm Bureau. I don't remember exactly. I'll try another analogy to explain.
Tell me the question, Mr. Chairman.
The question is, why we have the language major change in or majorly increase the cost of section farming practices in the bill. You'll find it several places in the bill. On page 9, line 12, line 27, and another 22.
You want to hear where it goes
off? Well, I can explain it again. I have another analogy.
I've got another one.
The question was in effect on line 12, page 9, was it necessary that we have two we draw a distinction between forcing a major change in a farm operation or immeasurably increasing the cost? As I understood the question, was were they in fact not the same thing? How do they differ? So I was giving an example of how a dwelling or activities associated with a dwelling in an EFU zone might force a major change or force a change, and how that differs from measurably increasing the cost of a farming practice. For example, let's say that we go back to the example I was using before. We have a section of land in eastern Oregon. Non-farm dwellings move in on one side of the section, but not on any of the other three sides of that section of land. The non-farm dwellings present a potential hazard in herbicide spraying to the non-farm residences, residents of those dwellings. If as a result of that, if I were a farmer, if I had to change my practice from an aerial spraying pattern to a ground spraying pattern, I might not be increasing the cost of doing business because I might be using the same amount of herbicide or pesticide per acre as I was using before and have roughly the same cost. But I'd be doing more damage to the crops because the ground rig and the ground spray apparatus would be furrowing the field, would be destroying some of the crops, and possibly a good number of the crops. It would not be as effective or efficient or as good a farming practice as it would be if I were allowed to spray with an aerial technique as I was allowed to do before. Contrast that with a real circumstance. I believe it was in one of the counties in the northwest part of Oregon recently, where a non-farm dwelling moved into the neighborhood, and so a farmer, who, there was a lawsuit over this, I believe. I can't remember the name of the suit, but because of the presence of the non-farm residents, where the farmer was allowed to spray in one direction before the non-farm residents moved into the area, because of the presence of that non-farm residents, the farmer had to had to direct the pilot that did their spraying for them to come in from an opposite angle and to spray the fields in another way, which did increase the cost of doing business for that farmer, in order to avoid herbicide and pesticide drift onto that non-farm residence.
Also a major change.
I suppose I have to say yes.
Madam Chair?
Representative Troop.
Also what?
It measurably increased the cost of the operation. It also was a major change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I'm trying to, you know, when I see the word measurably increase, that really the flag with me that you're, some judge is going to have to make a decision whether you've measurably increased the cost of operation. I think the major change part of it is a lot easier for the judge to define what a major change in the operation was. I just think measurably increased written all through the...
Mr. Chairman, may I make a comment too on this? I understand exactly. We did debate this at some length in the EFU Zone Task Force in the last interim. Farm Bureau proposed that we delete the term major and leave the term measurably. And the reason why we suggested this is that for exactly the reason that you're pointing up, that we can foresee attorneys debating endlessly about whether or not a change was major or not. We think that if you were just to remove that comparative term, major, which would have the effect of increasing the opportunity for lawyers to make a case on both sides of the issue, if you were merely to delete the term major, you would probably diminish the potential litigation from the statute a great deal. Now, we did not argue on the House side to delete the term measurably, because we are in favor of quantifying as much as possible any of the adverse effects or any of the interference that might derive from a non-farm residence in an EFU zone. And we think by stating that it should be measurable, it could be the cost of a shotgun shell or the cost of a couple yards of barbed wire. If that's measurable, we think it would protect the farmer a lot more if it were left in the statute.
Madam Chair,
I guess so. Representative Hill.
I'd like to move to delete major in this particular line, line 12, and any other line in which this phrase appears. It appears several places.
Correct. Representative.
That would leave a change in or measurably increase the cost of a septic farming, which.
Representative Hill moves to remove major. On line 12, and again on line 27. I believe those are the two places it's used.
No, page 10.
Page 10, line 17. Is that it, Elizabeth?
I don't know.
One question, Madam Chair, to the
issue. I think so.
Yes, Representative Hill.
It appears to me that we don't, when we allow development on EFU zones, whether it's through exceptions or anything else, it should be conditioned on not forcing the farmer to change their production, their right to farm. And so I think it's essential that we protect the farmer's rights.
I
Representative Anderson.
If I'm reading the bill right, we're only dealing with those 3 acres or less lots, period. And to say that if the cause 1 cent worth of change in that farm operation, say you can't build on that 3 acre lot, I think is overly restrictive.
Madam Chair?
I believe in this first section we're dealing with non-farm dwelling, Representative right. Anderson.
And the second, read
yes,
below.
You're dealing with lot of record there.
What line are you on, Madam Chair?
Representative Van Leeuwen, in talking about major change on line 12 refers to a non-farm dwelling. When on line 27, a major change refers to a lot of record on EFU land. when you talk on line 17, on the notice requirements that the written